Hello everyone, welcome to the season debut of J-Talk Extra Time. My name is Stuart Smith and the next voice you're going to hear is John Steele. John, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Stuart. Yes, how are we?
We're very good at this end of Japan, in the middle where Gifu is. How's it up around yours in Tokyo?
Yeah, not being too bad. We are recording on the cusp of the Setsubun, the traditional sort of start of spring festival here, February the 3rd. And usually it's been a pretty cold winter up to this point, but it's been very mild this year for us. I don't know about Gifu. Yeah, it's a bit weird thinking that the J-League season's just around the corner. Usually we've been shivering for a good few weeks, but it's been all right so far.
Yeah, we've had a warm winter down here as well. Well, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of our J2 preview soon. But first, before we get into that kind of stuff, there's a couple of things I'd like to address first. Number one is this podcast wouldn't be possible without the support of all the people who listen to it, and especially the people who support it on Patreon. And I would speak for John. You know, John and I know that there are so many things that take up time and money in general life these days. And so we are both very kind of humbled that so many of you out there see fit to donate to our podcast to keep it running. We don't take that support lightly, and we're determined to bring our A game each and every week. You'll find a link to the top of the you'll find a link to the Patreon at the top of the J-Talk podcast Twitter feed. That's Ben's handle, and it's pinned to the top of my timeline as well, sushi_football. If you don't do Twitter, you can find us at patreon.com/thejtalkpodcast. To that end, we're going to do a bit more kind of extracurricular activity for the Patreons this year. Soon, my J2 preview will be going live. I sent that to Ben tonight for him to have a look over and make sure that everything's okay before he lets all the Patreons loose on it. It came out to 5,500 words, which is a bit mental. But that'll be exclusively for Patreon subscribers, and yeah, that'll be coming soon. Secondly, again, this is on behalf of John as well. We'd like to give our best wishes to a friend of Japanese football, Scott McIntyre. He's not only a friend of Japanese football, of course, he's a personal friend of mine and John's and so many other people. And it was very difficult to see and hear about him going through such a traumatic ordeal that he had to go through. And the fact that when he was released, he was able to speak with such clarity and finesse on a staggeringly complex topic and not make it solely about him is nothing but credit to Scott's character. He'll become a leading light on the child abduction issue in Japan. And when Scott puts his mind to something, he usually does it quite well. And Scott, if you're listening, you've got an invitation onto this podcast anytime you want, as long as you know your shit about J2, which I think you would do. Just say the word, Scott. It's good to have you back. John, we've got those two things out of the way. J2 starts in a month's time, doesn't it?
I think we might even be under a month. I think we're 3 weeks away from the big kickoff for J1 and J2. I know you were at pains to point out in the green room that J3 J3 fans have to wait a little bit longer to get their fix, if you like. But yeah, it's been a weird close season. I don't know whether this is just my imagination. It seems to be a bit more transfer activity than usual. Certainly a few more kind of eyebrow-raising transfers than we might expect. And yeah, I think we should probably try and catch the listeners up on as many of these as we can in the next sort of 30 or 35 minutes.
Yeah, so just to go through a bit of housekeeping first. This is just like the welcome back podcast. We've got two other podcasts lined up that will go through each club and their ins and outs over this winter.
This is like an orientation for us as much as for the listener, probably.
we need to we can't We can't just come off the bench and go straight at 100 miles an hour. We need to just kind of loosen up and just kind of
So it's
jog
like the
into the
first
game.
the first pre-season training session where you just do some kind of light stretches, and then if you're Kazuyoshi Mura, sit in a sort of blue plastic bucket full of ice water, and then go home and do it all again the next day. That's where we are. That's where we are, isn't it, Stuart, really?
It's exactly where we are in that metaphorical ice bucket. That's what we want. John, this year, J2, we've got four new teams. Well, four new teams for this year, but teams that have been in J2 in the past. We've got Jubilo Iwata and Matsumoto Yamaga, who came down from J1. And we've got Giravance Kitakyushu, champions of J3, and Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma, who finished second in J3, and they were promoted as well. John, out of those four teams, is there one that has particularly caught your eye this winter with its either its transfer dealings or its kind of the way it's looking ahead to the coming season?
Yeah, with apologies to Iwata and Matsumoto, I do feel like we've seen them very recently in J2. So it's not, although they do have some changes in terms of playing staff and coaching staff we can talk about. I'm more interested in the teams that have come up from J3, to be honest. Especially, it's good to have Kitakyushu back because of the stadium that they have is obviously J2, possibly even J1 worthy, so I think a lot of away fans seem excited about having the chance to visit that one. But yeah, I think Gunma have some new signings that might make them an intriguing proposition. I know they've also been quite recently in J2, but were awful, so it's going to be good to see them maybe being a bit more of a tough nut to crack this year. And I think it's Genki Omae rocking up there is probably the most surprising. One of the most surprising transfer deals. I also know a little bit about the another forward that's come in, Kohei Shin, who was very, very good for YSCC in J3 last year. Yeah, Yuzo Iwakami as well as a well-known former Matsumoto player who's joining the team at Shoda Stadium, Gunma. So yeah, I think. Obviously, very early days, but I think they have the nucleus of a team which is gonna do just fine. And relegation worries, I don't think they'll be too worried about relegation. But we obviously we'll see. What about you?
You've kind of stolen exactly what I was going to say, almost word for word. I think
Sorry.
when my J2 preview comes out, the first thing I wrote about Gunma was they could be the surprise package this year because, you sign Genki Omae, you sign Yuzo Iwakami, Miyasaka, also from Matsumoto. Got Tatsuya Uchida as well, they brought in from Tokyo Verdy. Kohei Shin, like you said, was really good for YSCC last year, and it's it looks pretty good for Gunma. I think they have lost Yuya Takazawa, who was really good for them last year. I think he scored 15 or 16 goals as they finished second in J3. Got new.
Why do you think Genki Omae's gone there, Stuart?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't know. I don't th I can't
It can't be
imagine.
money. It can't be money.
I don't think it will be money, but also at the same time, I find it hard to believe it was the only offer that he had. Now, whether he wanted to stay within a certain radius of, I don't know, like Tokyo or Shizuoka or wherever, I'm not sure, but I think maybe he was on the periphery at Omiya, despite being arguably one of their best players less than 2 years ago, I think, and maybe he wanted to go somewhere where he would be guaranteed playing time. I probably should know, but I'm not sure how old he is, but he's not getting any younger.
He's 30,
He's 30, right? Well, his time is running out for him to be like the kind of ace goal getter for a team, and maybe he looked at Gunma. They, They're losing Takazawa, the top scorer from last year, and maybe he thought, oh, well, I can go there, I can play regularly. Maybe they told him about the plans that they had to get Matsumoto Yamaguchi's supply line to kind of just fit in behind him. And maybe you hear it quite often. It seems like player talk, but maybe it's the project. I don't know. Like, he can be the spearhead for the revival of Zespa Kusatsuguma. So it is a surprise. I'm still surprised by it, and I'll probably be surprised when I watch him trot out onto the pitch in Gunma. But I think it's a bold move. And I suppose if you don't ask, you never get, really, do you? Like, the worst he could have said was, no, I'm not going to play for Gunma. But they contacted him, and they obviously persuaded him to do it, really. So, yeah, good for
Yeah,
Gunma.
certainly going to be interesting.
Oh, definitely. And also, like, I think, like, again, kind of like you said, Jubilo and Matsumoto, I mean, fair play to them. Welcome back to J2. But I think Kitakyushu and Gunma are going to be kind of really good additions to this league. I mean, you've got, obviously, we've just talked about Gunma and with the players they've brought in. Kitakyushu, you've got arguably one of the best managers in the league, Shinji Kobayashi, does nothing but get teams promoted. I think I read that Kitakyushu were the fifth team that he's led to a promotion in his career, which is kind of phenomenal stuff from him. They've got a lot of young talent, kind of quite a lot of it on loan, to be fair. But their best player, Shuto Machino from last year, he signed on a permanent deal from Yokohama F. Marinos, and so I think it'll be good times for the two promoted teams. It would worry me if I was of a, say, Tochigi slash Ehime persuasion that these two teams were looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think I concur. I would be surprised if either of these two go straight back down, just based on what they have it on in the roster and how they the momentum that they'll have from J3 last year. However, yeah, as we're recording, it's the start of February, and you just never know what could happen with injuries, or some players might find the step up a bit more difficult than others. Physically, because you play a lot more games in J2 than in the J3, just because of the number of teams in the league. But yeah, I think definitely if I were a fan of Gunma or Kitakyushu, I'd be feeling pretty bullish at this point.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. I think another club that is probably feeling bullish right now, which would be quite difficult to imagine given the last time they stepped on the pitch in J2, was when they got tonked 13-1 by Kashiwa Reysol. But Kyoto Sangra have had a pretty eventful off-season, and a positive one, I think, John. I mean, obviously, we've spoken at length in the past about kind of what happened at Kashiwa and like the collateral damage that occurred from that. But they've had, I think they've had a pretty good off season. I think they, the manager, I don't know a lot about. I'll admit that. Noritadi Sanayoshi has been promoted from within their organization. But they've kind of lost a lot of the young talent they had. Kazunari Ichimi, who was their top scorer last season, he's now at Yokohama FC. Tomoyo Koyomatsu is at Sagan Tosu. Keiya Senta joined Yokohama F. Marinos. But they've brought in a lot of, in my preview, I call them battle hardened. They've brought in Jordy Boyce, Peter Utaka, Ryota Moriwaki, Tadanari Lee, Yutaka Soneda, Kazaki Nakagawa. There's a lot of good players there now, and a lot of kind of players who have been around the block, so to speak, and they've got this beautiful new cathedral to play in. Again, in my preview, my first sentence is Kyoto cleaned house quite literally with the new move to their new stadium. And I think there's what could have been an off season full of kind of pessimism after the 13-1 defeat has actually turned full circle, and they're looking pretty optimistic as they go into this 2020 season.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with anything you've said there. I think they possibly, I mean, Ichimi, Koyomatsu, Sento were all so impressive last year. That kind of pacey and aggressive front three. I mean, they perhaps could have even got promoted and still lost one or two of those players to bigger teams. So I think it was probably, the writing was on the wall, maybe October, November, that they were going to lose a couple of those players. So yeah, having Peter Utaka in kind of mitigates that quite a lot. It'll be interesting to see Tenenari Lee as well, and whether they play together or whether it's one or the other. Someone is sitting out on the bench. And yeah, Moriwaki and Bice could be an interesting centre back pairing, or maybe a three back system if somebody else is added to them. And there were a lack of a sort of bona fide shit houses in J2 last year, I felt. So having Moriwaki and his antics to look forward to is definitely something something to anticipate this season. On the stadium, I think as we're talking now, next weekend, February the 9th, the ground's actually going to open, isn't it? Kyoto have a pretty high profile friendly match against Seretse Osaka, pre-season friendly game. So I anticipate that the stadium will be full, or certainly almost completely full for that game. It's only a pre-season friendly, doesn't really matter, but if they can play well, put on a good performance, maybe even win the friendly game, you'd imagine that would give them some momentum that they can take into the J2 campaign as well. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how they do. I think you mentioned Sonnyoshi, the manager, kind of being promoted from inside. That's often disappointing, I think, for the untrained eye, perhaps the casual observer, because we don't know the name, we don't know what they've done. But I think, from what I can tell, people who know a bit more about the setup at Kyoto seem to think it's a good appointment, and he deserves a chance. So we'll see. But yeah, I think top six is not out of the question at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, I'm very upfront about it. I don't really know a lot about the manager, but he's been backed. I mean, you can't say that that they asked him to come in and then trim the wage bill, because it doesn't look like that's happened at all. I think yeah, they've brought in experience, and experience doesn't come cheap when you want people to come to J2. I think the stadium probably has a lot to do with it as well. They want to play.
Well, it's hard to believe that Geordie Buyse wouldn't have had an offer from a team in J1, and Peter Uteko wouldn't have had an offer from a team in J1. I'm sure they could have gone to J1 if they wanted to. So yeah, I agree. I think the stadium must be a big factor as well.
Definitely. Definitely agree with that. John, as we move on, are there any kind of transfers that have happened over the winter in J2 that have caught your eye? I'll give you my example of Satoki Uejo. Hopefully, I haven't stolen your idea. He moved from FC Ryukyu to Fajiano Okayama, which was at first it seemed like a strange move. But he's going to be partnered with Lee Yongjae at Okayama, and those two are going to be very difficult to defend against. I think that was for a team that lost Hayato Nakama to Kashiwa Reysol, they need Okayama needed someone to come in and needed someone to excite the fan base. And I think Uejo, he's not a big name, but he's a good player. And I think people that have watched J2 would understand that, and I think that's a really good transfer for Fagiano Okayama. John, anything stand out
Yeah,
for you?
on Uejo, I'm happy that he stayed in J2, because I love watching him play. Because he does something that, when I first came to Japan and started watching the J League, players were always very reticent to do, which is just try his luck and have a shot. And he also has his technique, the way he strikes the ball. He tends to get a lot of sort of explosive power, but with very minimal backlift. And it gives goalkeepers a lot of problems, because he can sort of be moving. He can be sort of carrying the ball at quite a slow pace, but then suddenly just crack the ball, you know, very, very hard, for want of a better word. Tends to be a goalkeeper's problem. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how he does at Okayama. I still think they, and we'll get onto this in subsequent pods, I still think they're a bit short, probably, with what they have at the moment of being a realistic playoff or promotion contender. I have two transfers which caught my eye, and I'm still not sure if it's for good reasons or bad. But we'll talk about, I think, Yoshito Okubo joining Tokyo Verde, because they lacked goals last year, and I'm still not sure that he will solve that problem for them this time, because he, I'm not sure how much of last season he spent injured and how much he was out of favour, but he didn't play that much last year for
was he at Jubilo, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so he didn't do them, he didn't help them very much last year, so I think it'll be interesting how he integrates, how he does at Verdi. And I think, am I right in thinking also from Iwata, I'll mention Kengo Kawamata,
who
I think trained initially, he was free to leave Iwata, or possibly his contract even expired. He was training with Jeff United, and that ended up, he impressed them in training, or wouldn't leave, one of the two, and they've ended up offering him a deal. So he comes into the squad at Jeff. So I think those two, this is probably lazy journalism, if you like, but they seem to have a few parallels in being ex-national team players. Maybe not quite in the twilight of their career, but heading in that direction, you know, stepping down, if you like, from Iwata to, if we're being honest, lesser clubs. I think that the narrative demands that one of them is a success and one of them isn't. But it would be very interesting to see which is which, I think.
Well, I'm excited to see Yoshida Okubo and Leandro, because they would be the best strikers in the league in 2013. Well,
I think you've gone straight to the heart of it there, because I don't think you will see them together very often. I think it will be one or the other. For Verdi, just because of the way that they play, which is often like sort of 4-4-1-1, and Leandro, I don't think, I hope he doesn't listen, because he seems like quite, might duff me up if he catches me outside Ajinomoto, but he doesn't have the legs to play 90 minutes now, I don't think, or he didn't last season, certainly. I'm not sure about Okubo's fitness. I think there's a question mark there. I was thinking it's a brave manager that gambles on his first and second choice strikers both being unable to last 90 minutes. So we'll see. I mean, I think you will see them together in the last 10 minutes when Verdi are desperately trying to rescue a game that's gone away from them. But I don't know how many times you'll see them starting, but we'll see. I have been keeping across the photos of Verdi's kind of pre-season training camp, and I think Leandro, he's a sort of, bear with me, he's a bit like Genki Omai in terms of his body shape doesn't tell you enough about their actual fitness level, if that makes sense.
A problem that you
and I both suffer from, Stuart, I'm sure. You know, we're super fit, but the pictures don't always reflect that. But we'll see. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, Verdi have also got Harry Ide now. I'm not sure if they all fit. I'm not sure if all these pieces of the jigsaw are going to play at once. Don't forget, Jeff have also got Kleber, who has scored, all, I think, 20 or almost 20 goals last year. So it's hard to believe that he won't be a first choice up front. And if they decide to play a system with only one top, if you like, I'm not sure how many games that'll mean for Kawamata. I'm not sure how many games it'll mean for Okubo at Verdi. But yeah, very interested to see those two. And I'd be very interested to compare their, see their stats at the end of the season as well.
Yeah, I think if I was to put money on it, which I wouldn't, because I'm against gambling, of course, but I would say that Kengo Kawamata, once he gets in shape, has got a pretty decent chance of being either Kleber's strike partner or even maybe usurping him. If they can get the good Kengo Kawamata and not the lazy one who just rocked up sometimes for Jubilar the
His
past couple of years.
kind of goals record is really good every season except last year, because I did go through his stats, and
Well, I
I think
think
he's been good every year except last year, pretty much, I think. So yeah, again, it remains to be seen whether this season is a continuation of last, or whether last season's the blip sort of thing.
I remember last time I said something positive about Jeff United. Sean Carroll, friend of the pod, sent me a photo on Twitter with a picture of Sir Alex Ferguson saying, "Lads, it's Jeff." So I wonder if we're just bigging up Kengo Kawamata and he's just gonna flame out like all the other big names that went to
Yeah,
Jeff. I don't know.
I think Kawamata, I'm fully prepared to have these words rammed back down my throat later on in the season. Hopefully not by the man himself, but I don't think he'll score goals unless he gets service. So I think that kind of sort of shifts the emphasis for Jeff to they just need to make sure they're putting the balls into the right area for him, and he's a great header of the ball. I know that for sure.
But so is Kleber.
So is Kleber, yeah, and Kleber can make goals for himself, as he did. I forget which game it was, but he scored like a half volley from about 30 yards in one game last season, which is incredible. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, it's a nice problem for managers to have these options, but I'm just not sure how many games these two guys, Okubo and Kamata, are going to play, and I'm certainly wouldn't be making any guesses about how many games they actually start for sure. I wonder if they've almost been brought in. Okubo certainly at Verdi, a kind of bit of name value.
Yes, of course.
And they're losing the guy that was scoring, the key man at the end of the tail end was Jailton Paraiba, who's just disappeared. I'm not going to make the
Gone.
obvious joke about his name, which I think is
So, yeah.
where you might be going. But yeah, he was very good. So I'm not sure what happened there. If they just couldn't agree a deal, or he did injure his knee in one match. I wonder if there was a fitness problem or a medical problem that meant he couldn't stay on. But yeah, we'll see. But I think those two kind of, and we mentioned Okubo as well. Also bringing some shithousery probably with some exaggerated flops as the
Welcome,
fitness as well.
welcome, yeah.
Imaginary yellow card waving. Finger jabbing, all the stuff that we watched the game for,
You know what I really want to see? I really want to see Okubo jump for a ball with now ex Tokyo Verdy goalkeeper Naoto Kami Fukumoto. I want them to collide with each other and I want to see who does the most shithousery and complaining from that, because I think that would be a really good battle. Then there'll be lots of kind of shaking the hair about and lots of pointing and lots of kind of standing over one another.
I think the Alice band might be removed, waved around, and then replaced on the head.
I'm
Yeah,
looking forward to that.
it could happen. On Kami Fukumoto, he's probably the one player Verdy couldn't afford to lose, and unfortunately they lost him to Oita. So
Lost him to Tokushima, John.
to
He stayed in
Tokushima, sorry.
J2,
Yes, sorry. Yes, Oita. Yeah, so that is painful, and yeah, Verdy might have problems at that end of the pitch, I think, rather than up front this season.
One thing that'll come across in the J2 preview is there's some foreign goalkeepers this year in J2. We'll get onto this in the proper pod itself, but just to say that Kami Fukumoto has gone to Tokushima, but he's been replaced ostensibly by a Brazilian goalkeeper called Mateus, who I know nothing about. Omiya Radija have a new foreign goalkeeper as well, and in my experience, foreign goalkeepers don't come in and sit on the bench unless you're FC Giffen, you have to, which is a bit weird. But
Well, the Verdi's new Brazilian goalkeeper's only ever played two professional games,
marvelous.
so he might be more comfortable on the bench than in the between the sticks. So we'll see.
I think he's got a good agent then. He's done well there.
Think Verdi might have thought they were getting the other Matthias.
Who else? Shimizu bought a new foreign goalkeeper, didn't they? A Colombian one. but then
Yes,
yeah, I think so.
it's all the rage.
It is. Listen, John, as we start to wind this down, give me a quick answer on these, all right? Who do you think will finish higher, Avispa Fukuoka or Mito Hollyhock?
Fukuoka.
Ooh, nice. I think the same as well. Who do you think will finish higher, Jeff United or Tokyo Verdy?
Which bald man will get the comb? Jeff will finish higher. I think, yes, Jeff, because because of the coach.
Jeff, because of the coach. Okay, and there was one more question. Who will finish higher, FC Ryukyu or Viva and Nagasaki? So
This
just to give you some context here, Nagasaki lost Hiroto Goya, who's gone to Kashiwa, and as we've just kind of explained, Satoki Uejo has left FC Ryukyu, and they've replaced him with Takuma Abe, ex Vegalta Sendai, and a team in Germany that I can't quite remember.
It's at Arlen.
Ah, okay, that's right.
My pronunciation is probably atrocious. Neither of these teams are gonna be top 10, are they? I don't think.
I don't think so.
I'll say Nagasaki will finish higher, but they'll bore the pants off us in the process.
There you go. Best kit that you've seen in J2 so far.
I'm gonna be accused of hometown or regularity confirmation bias here, but that Verdy Tokyo Verdy's kit is very nice.
It is.
Yeah, there was another one that I liked. It was probably the Tokushima one. Tokushima's from last year, I really liked, so I might be getting confused. Jeff's is certainly interesting. I'm not sure. There might still be one or two teams that haven't actually revealed their J2 kits, isn't there? Is Avispa's kit, Fukuoka's kit is out,
They
isn't
have released it, and
it?
with due apologies to Navy Blue Wasp, it looks the same as last year's, I think. Unless
But
I looked at a picture of
Omiya's
last
done the
year's.
same thing. Omiya's is just the same, I think. It's a new kit, but you can't really tell.
Well,
Can't
they've
really.
got the Docomo 5G as
I
their
think
sponsor, right?
Yamagata's is nice as well.
Oh, okay. See, I don't like theirs
Oh,
compared to last year's.
okay. Yeah, it's tricky. I know YSCC. Just a brief diversion. I know you asked for quick answers, but the YSCC did a big build up to their kit reveal and then announced that they got the same kits as last year.
Of course they did.
Good. I bought one for my son on sale at the tail end of last season, and now it turns out I got the current kit. In it,
Nice
I will say
work.
in inverted commas on the cheap, and we should do at some point. We should talk about how much daily kits actually cost, because
We need a swear box for that one.
you need to remortgage your house if you want one. No, I didn't realise the I was going to get a Verdy one for my son who is almost 7, because he don't know why he likes going to watch Verdy, which is probably my fault. But the kids, did you know this? The kids, I don't know if this is true for them, the kids' kits uniform is the same price as an adult one.
No, I didn't
So
know that. Is
it's 15,000. If you want Verdy's home kit with no name or number, I think it's 16, it's 15,800.
for a kids?
Well, it's the same
Jesus.
price for everybody, yeah. So,
No, I didn't know that.
yeah, anyone who's googling Guardian articles for why Japan's birth rate is falling, you might also want to Google why does everything cost the same price as for kids and as for grown-up people. There might be a Venn diagram that kind of matches. Yeah, absolutely crazy. I think just on the Verdy kit, it's a good example of how you can have loads of sponsors but integrate them into the shirt design.
Yes.
But whereas Gifu, I feel, have a nice kit. But the sponsors' logos again are not really ideally placed.
Well, they're not ideally sized as well. That's the thing, like we've got stripes on our kit this year and it looks really nice, but the collarbone sponsors are actually wider than the stripes and it looks haphazard. Obviously, I can't be seen or heard quoting anything bad about FC Gifu on the
An
airwaves, but
insider claimed.
yeah, a source A source close to the club said the kid. I don't know what to say. Like,
Said too
it
much
does look
already.
bad. Yeah.
We'll say on kits, since we're doing this, Machida, Zelvia don't have a what do we call, not the Colibers, the Tommy sponsor? What is it,
Oh,
chest
yeah.
sponsor?
They don't. What?
No, but they just have the they have just have the words FC Machida Zelvia emblazoned in that space, which I presume perhaps could change if they did attract a sponsor at some point during the season. But I wonder if they obviously don't perhaps don't need the money now because of the cyber agent ownership.
Yeah.
But it's just weird if you think if you cast your mind back to the controversy that they had when they announced they were changing the team name
Yes.
last season. It's a real sort of a volte face to emblazon that on the chest of the shirts for next season. So I wonder if that's almost like is that a mea culpa of like we're sorry we're not changing the name, or is it like this is your last 12 months to buy merchandise plastic with this name
This is
because
our
after this season it's
training
going up.
kit, yeah.
So we'll see. But that was an interesting one because it's like. The shirt design obviously has a sponsors as an integrated space where you put the shirt the chest sponsor, but they don't have it just as FC Machida Zelvia. So why wouldn't you put Cyber Agent there? I mean, if I owned a football club, it would have I'd have like my face on the shirt. So I'd be like, this is me, I'm the owner. I don't know, I'm an
Yeah,
egomaniac.
I don't know. So yeah, well, like Katale Toyama don't have a midriff sponsor. They've put their main sponsor is YKK. I don't know what they do. They make zips or windows or something like that. I don't know.
Zippable windows.
Zippable windows, and they've put it on the opposite breast of the club badge.
That's interesting.
It looks
Yeah.
pretty cool, actually. I have to say.
Stoke, this is a digression that will lead
Come
us swift to the end
on.
of the podcast. We once had no shirt sponsor, but our kits were made by Asics, and we struck a deal midway through the season to have Asics be the shirt sponsor as well. So we had Asics like on our shirts in the collarbone place, and just in case you weren't paying attention, it was also emblazoned on the. It just looked dreadful. So perhaps YKK wanted to avoid a repeat of our kind of 95-96 season abomination in the Nationwide League Division One.
See, that's the content people come for.
We eat
Deep.
patreon.com/Joe.
Yeah. More. Exclusively for Patreons. Don't
Yeah, for
groan at the
a
back.
4-hour bad kit special.
Well, I mean, we could talk about kits and how much they are and how much it costs to kit yourself out to watch your J League team. But,
Well,
yeah.
why don't you see young people in the park nowadays?
John, it's too late for this. Come on, come
I
on.
know, I'm sorry.
So what we're gonna do is, what are we gonna do? I'll tell you what we are gonna do. We're gonna record our J2 proper preview special where we'll probably rehash a lot of all this stuff, but we'll also add a bit more depth to it. There's a lot that's gone on in J2 this winter, so this is the first pod of the year, so we're just like we said before, we're just getting loosened up, stretched, and yeah, once we get into the previews in detail, then we'll be able to kind of shine a light on all the teams. I know we haven't spoken about all teams on this one, but we're gonna kind of give every team the respect of going over their winter and their prospects in the, well, we're gonna record tomorrow as well, I think, John. Before the Super Bowl, should add. But yeah, until then, John, any other final words before we reconvene in 8 hours?
No, I think that's enough. I think we should mention it was kind of good to see the Ajinomoto pitch completely waterlogged for FC Tokyo's ACL playoff because
Oh,
normally
yeah.
we have to wait until June or July to get a farcical highlight such as those. So we, yeah, watching that made me feel like I was like, shit, is it June already?
Yeah, Kamitamari Sanaki were casting envious eyes at that state of waterlogged
That's
nonsense. Yeah.
definitely my football highlight of the year so far is like watching highlights of a game where the ball would not roll or bounce no matter what you did. So, yeah.
Well, we've got that to look forward to, John. We've got
Very
loads of
much.
that to look forward to.
Yeah,
Don't worry
yeah.
about it. All right then. So, yeah, we'll reconvene soon, and we'll go through J2 with a fine tooth comb, and we'll see what's what and what's to come, right?
Wicked, yeah. Thanks again to all the patrons, everybody who downloads and listen. We really appreciate the support. And if we hopefully we sound clearer than before. I think we're on new microphones for this season, so hopefully that makes a difference to your listening pleasure.
Absolutely, definitely. And so with that, we'll kind of call it a night for tonight. And we, like John said, we appreciate all the people who listen and who donate to this podcast via Patreon. And yeah, we look forward to speaking to you again soon. But until that time comes, goodbye for now.